The president isn't the only super stable genius. Here's Steve Gruber.
I gotta pay that guy extra. Oh, wait. I do pay that guy extra. All right. My next guest, another super stable genius, David Kallman, joining me on the program from the Great Lakes Justice Center. David, welcome back.
Good morning. Good to be with you, Steve.
Good to have you here. You know, when you got involved with this whole transgender policy issue with the Williamson School Board and the Williamson Schools, and went to battle on behalf of parents and the community, really, because the vast majority of the community opposes these policies based on those that submitted, you know, feedback to the school board and so forth. You knew you were wading into a place where you were going to get sniped at, right? I mean, that was pretty much a foregone conclusion.
Well, of course.
Yeah, you were going to face some heat, get some interesting emails and so forth. But in Lansing, the Lansing State Journal wrote a scathing op-ed about the whole thing, about how the parents that are opposed to the transgender are fearful, and they're, well, you know, they basically alluded that they're bigots and so forth. So you wrote a response to the Lansing State Journal, but they changed it on you unexpectedly, and you're not too impressed with that.
Yeah, I was glad to see that they at least were willing to publish the other side, and it was published in Sunday's paper. Their op-ed was about 3 weeks ago in February, and they made statements like the parents in Williamson are, quote, using religion as a weapon against others, or to justify bullying, and that they're operating out of, quote, fear, and things like that. And so I wrote, you know, an op-ed back saying that's hardly the case, and here's why. And I was quite surprised when I read it on Sunday in the paper that they had changed at least six or seven different things that I had written in my opinion, and they just changed it. And they didn't contact me ahead of time to see if I was okay with it. And when I submitted it, I asked that they print it as written, and if they wanted to change it, please to contact me.
And they didn't, and they changed several things. And several things that they changed the meaning of that. First of all, the first sentence was taken out, which was that you wrote the recent LSJ editorial 2/18/18 begins with a false premise. I mean, you lay your case out, and they deleted that altogether. This is the dishonesty of journalism today. They don't like what you're saying. They don't want to hear from you in your entirety. They want to edit what you say, and they want to affect your message, even though they're free to say whatever they want.
Yeah, it was discouraging to see this, because my response was written in response to the Lansing State Journal op-ed. I was not going after LGBT folks in general or any other people who might disagree with me or those on our side of this issue. I was responding to what the Lansing State Journal wrote, and they changed. You would not know that if you read what they printed in the paper on Sunday. In fact, one example, they changed a quote where I had said, because of what you wrote in your opinion, that's beneath this hyperbole is beneath the dignity of legitimate journalism. Well, they changed the word journalism to people. So they made it look like I was attacking LGBT folks by calling them not legitimate or illegitimate in some way, and I did not say that. So it was really quite upsetting, frankly, to see this and to see the things that they deleted and changed in my article.
Did you submit a follow-up? Did you send a letter to them and say, hey, you know, you changed what I wrote, you did it without my permission, and you did it deliberately to an intent to make me look bad, which is what they did.
Well, I'm not going to look at their motives if it was deliberate.
Well,
or whatever,
I'll do that.
But
I'll do that for you.
Somebody made the changes, and yes, I read this in Sunday's paper, and yesterday morning I wrote to the State Journal and emailed them and asked them to correct this. Absolutely.
Well, you don't have to ascertain their motives. I can do that, because as they say, David, proof is in the pudding, and they changed what you wrote and gave different meanings and connotations, outright omitting certain facts. Removing themselves as journalists, which they've done some time ago, and inserting people into the sentence. It's quite obvious what they did. They have an agenda. They don't agree with your point of view. They don't agree with the point of view of the people in Williamson who say, you know what? We want all kids protected. We don't need special rules for certain subsets. Everybody gets protected. No bullying, no pushing around,
right.
No calling of names, none of that. Everybody's covered. You don't need special protections of extra bullying protection, do you?
Well, of course not. And in fact, that's what I point out in my response, is that Michigan law says all schools had to pass an anti-bullying law, but that it was not to be given any reason for the underlying animus or the reason for the bullying. It was just supposed to say all bullying is forbidden, you know, and it can't be done and it has to be handled appropriately. And that's our point. That's what the policy said at Williamson before they made the changes, and that's what state law requires.
Right. There was
part
nothing
of our
needed.
Lawsuit. Is that they violated the anti-bullying law, which is the state statute. And, of course, I put the citation in my response, too, which they took out. So I was doing that so people could look it up themselves and Google it and read it for themselves, but they took that out.
Right, and you were well within the guidelines for length of letter and so forth. You know, but here's what we're up against. You know, I've been sharing with the folks a little bit this morning. I'll get more into it now. Portland State University had a gathering, a discussion here recently where a biologist, a genetic biologist had the nerve to say that there is sexual dimorphism, which means men are taller, men are heavier, men have more muscle mass, and it created this big exodus from the room where people were calling her a Nazi because she had the nerve to talk about sexual dimorphism, science, you know, basic science, basic biology, because she was some sort of a hater because she would point out that men are taller and weigh more and have more muscle mass by design, by genetics, by whatever you want to call it, sexual dimorphism, very basic building block of science. And yet she gets called a Nazi and they get attacked for, you know, this behavior that will not stand, will not tolerate it. You're not going to tolerate that men are taller? What are you going to do, cut our legs off?
Well, I'm not surprised at that, Steve. I mean, look at the case that's over in Wisconsin right now. We just filed a brief in the McAdams case where he's the professor there suing Marquette University because he was censored, stripped of his tenure, and suspended without pay in order to apologize because in a personal blog that had nothing to do with the university, he made a comment that he believed same-sex marriage was not appropriate, was not Catholic tradition, which it clearly is not, and that marriage should be between one man and one woman. Because he made those comments, Marquette University went after him. And so that case is now in the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And Great Lakes Justice Center, we just filed a brief on that case a week or so ago.
You know, I wonder how they could come to any other conclusion that Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, the free exercise thereof. If the man says, I believe the Catholic doctrine supports one man and one woman, and that's the tradition of the church, and that's what I believe, how in the world can anybody say, I'm going to take your job and everything else? Because isn't that attacking his ability to freely exercise his religious beliefs?
Absolutely. Not only a violation of the First Amendment Free Exercise Clause, it's a violation of the First Amendment Free Speech Clause. And what's ironic in all this is that the professor's contract with Marquette University, a Catholic university, by the way, okay, his contract said very clearly that the university would respect and honor and not infringe upon his constitutional rights. Well, that includes the Free Exercise Clause and the Free Speech Clause. But yet they blatantly violated those rights. And it's just, like you say, this Portland situation, Marquette, you see it all over the country. And, you know, a lot of people predicted this, Steve, that would come. This is what was going to arise on the Obergefell decision on same-sex marriage.
Speaking the truth will be a revolutionary act. Speaking the truth, David Coleman, always a pleasure. Great Lakes Justice Center. Find out more, look him up online, Great Lakes Justice Center. David, thank you as always.
Thank you, Steve. Good to be on.